Amen. That ought to be our goal. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Amen. If you've got your Bible, would turn with us to the book of Revelation, chapter number 2. Revelation, chapter number 2. And while you're finding your place, I'd like to make a suggestion to the church and see what the church feels about it. But Brother McHatton and them being broken down, this is what I believe. I've experienced it in my Christian life a number of times on each end. I've been the one broke down. I've been the one they broke down at their place or trying to get to their place. And I believe it is providential that God allows things to happen where they happen at. And God looking after His children. Amen. A lot of different ways things could be said about that. I could say a lot of things. But I'd like for us to help the McCattons, to be honest with you. And the figure I've got in my mind is $300. And I don't know, that may be a lot more than that. It may not be that much. I don't know what it'll be. But I know they rented a car to come up. Would that be all right with the church if we just give them a check for $300 out of the missions? If that's okay, everybody say amen. Okay, I believe that's what's on my heart. I believe that'll be right, and I appreciate that. And not trying to rob the church. We had a missionary last Sunday, thank the Lord. Amen. God's blessing us. I believe that. God blesses us with missionaries. Amen. All right, having said that, Revelation chapter number 7. I'm in chapter number 1. Chapter number 2, verse number 1 through verse number 7. Revelation chapter number 1, 2. Ha! I'd like to welcome all those in the auditorium of the Island Ford Baptist Church. We're starting all over. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege again to be in the house of God this morning. Thank you, Lord, for what we've enjoyed as far as the singing and the Sunday school and even the testimony, as Brother McHatton told about the work that you've called them to do. And, Lord, we see and have known their faithfulness down through the years. And, Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you for your provision. And I pray that you'd continue to help, that if there's more needed on fixing that vehicle and getting them on to their next place, Lord, that you would provide that and you'd get the glory and the honor for doing so. Father, I pray now as we look into the Scriptures that you'd give our minds the train of thoughts we ought to have, that we need to have. Help us be able to say what we need to say in this message. Lord, I know it's not the words, but it's the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God that we need in this hour. And I pray to God that that be evident and that you'd get the glory. Souls might be saved. Saints might be strengthened. Jesus Christ might be glorified. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Well, we return today to our study of this first letter of the seven letters to the seven churches of Asia. We've studied chapter number 1 as an introduction to the book of Revelation, and then really from trying to look at these letters, chapters 2 and 3. And I said, I believe, I'm not looking at them as seven dispensations or seven different ages. I'm looking at these as seven individual letters to seven individual churches. And each of these is recommended for all of us to hear. Amen. Matter of fact, at the end or in the reading of every one of these, he says this phrase, he that hath an ear, Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So God wants me to hear what he's saying to Ephesus. He wants me to hear what he's saying to Smyrna. He wants me to hear what he's saying to Sardis and to Philadelphia and Thyatira. All those churches, he wants me to hear what he's saying to those churches. So that's how we're looking at it. Not at what he's saying to them primarily, but what he's saying to us in this day in which we live. Now, we notice chapter number 2 deals with 4 separate churches. Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira. And then chapter number 3 deals with the final 3 letters, those to Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And we'll look at those as we go along. But as we began a few weeks ago, and now we've been gone for a couple of weeks because I preached a different message one Sunday from a different text. Just felt led to deviate from this study. And then last Sunday, as I mentioned, we had Brother Messick with us from up in Canada. And so we've not looked at this text in a few weeks. But as we did look at this letter, began looking at it, I mentioned to you there's 5 things to notice, I believe, in each of these letters. I want to throw those 5 things out, and we're going to deal with one of them this morning. We talked about, notice the address. He mentions who he's talking to. Then the admiration. He brags on what they've done. And then number 3, the admonition. And that is where he finally tells them what needs to be done and maybe scolds them a little bit. Then number 4, he gives them the advice. That is how to fix what's wrong. Amen. By the way, that's a good thing to always remember, that if you're going to tell somebody what's wrong, at least tell them how to fix it. Amen. Number 5, there's the advantage. And so he gives them the reward for fixing those things. And he talks about he that overcometh. That's always in the close of these letters. Now, we began dealing with the first. We've dealt with the first 2 of these. The address in verse number 1. We notice 4 things in verse number 1. I'll throw them out and move along. We notice the leader. He's the angel of the church at Ephesus. Then we notice the location. That was the church at Ephesus. Then we notice the Lord. He's the one that's walking in the midst of 7 stars and who holdeth the 7 golden stars. Or who holds the 7 stars and walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. And lastly, we notice the lights that are there, and that is the 7 stars, which are the preachers, the pastors of those churches, and then the candlesticks themselves are to hold forth the light and send out the light. Now, the last time we looked at this text, we talked about the admiration. Verses 2, 3, and 6 all deal with things our Lord said that was good about that church at Ephesus. He bragged on them for their goodness. He mentions 6 things. Primarily, you can find them in verse number 2. They're referred to again in verse 3 and then again in verse number 6. But 6 things that he says, I know about your doings, that I admire about your church. First of all, he noticed their works. Secondly, their labor. By the way, labor is more than works. It's work to be a housewife, but you go into labor when you have a baby. Amen. There's a difference there. A lot of difference there. Amen. Your work's just started. Amen. You think it's something having to clean up after a husband. Wait till you got 2 or 3 little junior husbands running around. Amen. There's works, there's labors, and then he said he noticed their patience. Amen. That fits in there as well, don't it? He said, number 4, he noticed how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Number 5, how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. And number 6, he says thou hast found them liars. By the way, God not only commends this church and brags on this church for the fact that they know the difference in true doctrine and false doctrine, but they label the false doctrine and they announce and pronounce what is wrong with those false teachers, and Christ commended them for doing that. That's something strange in our day, but yet the Lord still wants it done. Amen. Matter of fact, when you read the writings of the Apostle Paul, I believe that in every letter that Paul wrote, he commends some people and brags on some people and recommends some people, but he also marks some others, and he said, you better watch them because they've messed with me and they'll mess with you down the line. Amen. In every one of his letters. And so let me go to the third thing and after this brief review, give you some of the contents of this letter to the church at Ephesus. The third thing here is the admonition. Verse number 4. That's where I'm going to stay today by the help of the Lord. Verse number 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. The admonition. Now, I mentioned previously that we can see the great tenderness of our Savior being a good shepherd, the good shepherd that He is, in that He does not reprove His bride about her bad qualities until he first commends her remarks about her good qualities. Amen. And we see another characteristic now about our Lord that shows us his sweetness and his tenderness, and that ought to be added to our life. And that is this, that even though he did admire his bride, that did not cloud his vision or deter him from recognizing those things that needed to be worked on and those blemishes that needed to be mended. Amen. Amen. Love covers a multitude of sin. I preached a message years ago on that thought, and that here was my title. Love covers a multitude of sin, but it still don't make it right. We overlook things because we love people. Sure. But if we really love them, sometimes we'll have to tell them, hey, you got something hanging out of your nose. You need to wipe your nose. You need to straighten up. We tell them things like that. Amen. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to be serious. We tell them that because we love them. We don't want them to be ridiculed by the world. Amen. They didn't see it. They don't recognize it. And we did. So we try to help them with that. All right. So Christ shows them the problem that's in the church. Now, notice this as well. Christ does not come down excessively harsh with the rod upon the back of his sheep. Amen. Christ does not beat his sheep. But he does use the rod to chasten each of us individually and all of us collectively. Matter of fact, he said he chastens every son. Amen. And so he does use that rod. He uses it tenderly without excessive harshness. Christ states firmly here, nevertheless, in spite of all the good things I've said, in spite of all the good things you've done, there is one thing that really needs some work. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. It should be well noted that even churches and individuals who have several good and admirable points about them may yet have failures that need to be addressed and need to be brought to their attention. This statement of rebuke from our Lord shows us again his tenderness and his compassion. Can you see our Lord standing there? And he says, if I can say it this way, he's saying, why don't you love me like you used to? He's not trying to push us away. He's trying to draw us in. He's not standing there with anger in his eyes. He's standing there with tears in his eyes. I see him in this statement. He is displaying his wonderful love. Amen. There was nothing in us that he ought to loved us to start with. But even when we turn our back on him, he keeps on loving us and reaches out towards us even more love. Thank God. And in that love, he woos us back that he might win us back to himself. That's what he's doing in this text. He's saying, why don't you love me like you used to? You've left your first love. Amen. Well, this reprimand is intended to draw us to him. I picture in my mind's eye the Lord looking at this church with his arms stretched out and his heart broken, tears running down his cheek, as he did to the city of Jerusalem when he said in Matthew 23, verse 37, as Jerusalem had rejected him, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Christ's heart kept going out to them, even though they said, we don't want this man. We'll not have this man to rule over us. Hey, even though he knew they were going to say, we'll take a thief, we'll take a robber, let this man die. That he knew they were going to say that. And yet he loved them. Amen. And he reached out to them. Turn, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 2. I'll show you, and I'll read several verses here. That's why I'm having you turn. Jeremiah chapter 2. We see the complaint of God to his bride, Israel, in Jeremiah chapter 2. I know that's not an off-read portion of Scripture, so I'll give you a moment to find that. Jeremiah chapter number 2. If you can find Psalms, work your way towards the back. You're about middle way of the Bible. You go on past Isaiah, you find Jeremiah chapter number 2. And I'll start with verse 2. I could start with verse 1, but read down through verse number 13. Here's the statement God said to Jeremiah to say. He said, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. I'm going to stop just a minute. He said, Israel, I remember how you used to love me. You used to long for me. You used to chase after me. Amen. In your youth, look at verse 3. Israel was holiness unto the Lord and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passeth through and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Therefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Here's what God's saying. God said, in your youth, Israel longed for God. In your youth, you chased after me. But somewhere along the lines, you got to loving somebody or something else. Somewhere along the lines, you turned your affections away from me. And he said, it was not me that turned from you. It was not me that did you wrong. He said, you've done me wrong. That's what God said. And Jesus is saying the same thing to his church that God was saying to Israel. Jesus is saying, I'm still where I always were. Why don't you love me like you used to? I'm not only still where I was, I'm still what I was and who I was. And why don't you love me like you used to love me? Amen. Christ is saying to his bride, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, for thou hast left thy first love. Here again we see wisdom crying after those who once walked in wisdom, but have now turned, at least in their heart, to the ways of foolishness. Proverbs 1:20, verse 23. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. This wisdom personified is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's reaching out to sinners and he's saying, why won't you come to me? But now we see in the text in Revelation chapter 2, he's not just reaching to sinners. He's reaching to people that know him, that know about his love, that have experienced his love, and yet they've let that love grow cold. In this phrase, we can clearly see Christ has a desire to fellowship with us as he did in the early days of our salvation. Amen. Amen. Brother Joseph and Miss Amber are gone on vacation because this last week was their last Sunday. No, sometime the week before that was their anniversary. They didn't know the date. I don't know what the date. I've forgotten what the date is. 10th. Is that what it is? October 10th was their anniversary. So they've gone off. Because they're rekindling that fire. When a man's standing at the altar and he sees that woman coming down the aisle and she's all dressed in white and her daddy's got her by the arm and he's thinking, I got to get her away from him. Amen. And his heart's swelling and he's thinking about, oh, how I love her. And she's thinking, oh, how I love him. They don't know much about who all's there. They send out invitations and they got to have somebody write it down because they need to know who to send thank yous to. But they ain't paying attention to you. They're paying attention to each other. Amen. But if we're not careful after we've been married a while, we start paying attention to everything else except each other. You remember how it used to be when you was driving in the truck, driving down the road, and your honey was sitting with you, and when somebody passed you, they had to look twice to see which one was driving? Amen. Heard the story of a farmer driving down the road, and his wife looks over at him. She said, "Honey, how come we don't sit as close as we used to?" He said, "I don't know. I ain't moved." Amen. Well, that's what the Lord's saying. The Lord's saying, why are we not as close as we used to? Why is that first love, the kindled fire, why has it been let go out? Why is it let grow cold? Why have you allowed something to come between us and you've slid over? He is still where He's always been. And He's asking us, He's pleading with us to scoot over a little closer to Him. Amen. Brother Hinkle Little, you say, scrooch up close to Jesus. Amen. And love on Him a while. Amen. And I don't know if y'all use that word around here. We use it when I was a boy growing up. Talk about scrooching up. Amen. Well, He acknowledges, our Lord's acknowledging here His disappointment. We see not only His desire, we see His disappointment. In that we have allowed something to take us away from that pinnacle of love. That pinnacle of devotion. Amen. When He could have asked anything, He could have just insinuated anything, and we'd have done anything for Him. Now He has to about beat us in the head. He has to just about drive it into the ground for us to pay attention to Him. Amen. Amen. Well, He acknowledges that we've labored for Him. He mentions that in verses 2 and 3. But He's not satisfied with our labor. He wants our love as well. Amen. This language, as our Lord speaks, is the language of wounded friendship. Complaining of undeserved estrangement. Something has come between them, and it's not His fault. He's not at fault at all. And so He said, why are you allowing this to happen? Why is this taking place? It is the utterance of unrequited love, mourning over the loss of affection that is better than life. Amen. He wants not merely to love, but He wants to be loved. Can you see that? It's our Lord not only wants to love us, He does love us, but He wants us to love Him in return. Amen. Amen. It seems that Christ has found something in this church at Ephesus. Turn back to the book of Ephesians. You'll notice something in Ephesians chapter number 3. He has found that the church of Ephesus, though it was a noble church, the Apostle Paul had prayed for this church. And here was Paul's prayer, Ephesians 3, verse number 14. Ephesians 3, 14, "For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded," what's that? "In love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." Amen. Paul prayed for this church that they might know the extremes of the love of God. I don't know how high God's love is. I don't know how far that way and that way. But I know the depths of His love, because I know where I was when He found me. Thank God He reached down into the depths with His love, and love reached me. Amen. Love lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin. I was far from the peaceful shore. I was very deeply stained with Him. And I was sinking to rise no more. But the Master said, "Hallelujah to God, heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me." Amen. Now safe am I. I know the depths of His love, thank God. How can I let something come between me and that love? Amen. Amen. He said, "I want you to know that love." He's talking to this church at Ephesus. Jesus said, you knew something that now you've forgotten. You've let something come between us. And again, I just have to keep saying it this way. He's saying, why don't you love me like you used to? You see, the kindness of their youth, that young couple, so kind to each other. If we're not careful, we'll get a little older and we'll get to snapping at one another. Amen. We'll get a little cross. I don't understand it. I don't understand it entirely, but I know it's true that the older you get, the plainer you get. You don't have time for foolishness. That's true. It is. You don't have time for foolishness. You just cut to the quick, and this is how it is. It's cut and dried. Amen. But listen, in this thing with our love for each other, we got to be real careful that we don't cut when we're so dry. Amen. That we're real careful that we love and we have that rekindle, that fire, and keep that love of our espousals. Amen. When we wanted nothing more just to hear their voice. Amen. Nothing more than just to spend a little time with them. Amen. I'm not preaching to husbands and wives. That's all secondary. I'm talking about Him. I'm talking about Jesus. Amen. Amen. When it's just a pleasure, we sung that song about how sweet it is to spend 1 hour. How sweet it is 1 hour in the presence of God. When I commune with Him as friend, with friend, thank God. Amen. Do you know about that? Have you let the flower fade? Have you let the star grow dim? Have you let your love that was once warm, that was maybe blazing hot, yet it's cooled to the point that maybe it's cold? It seems to me that the Ephesus in Revelation 2 is not the Ephesus of the first generation. That first generation had a fervent love, but it's the Ephesus of the second generation that's taken that love for granted, that's moving on and does not recognize how precious, how wonderful that love is. Amen. That love that should be a gem that is to be prized above all others. Christ does not complain to this church about being slothful in service. He does not complain to this church about its zeal waning or failing in liberality or slackening in its warfare. Rather, He complains about their love that is slipped and slacked. It's not love that's altogether lost. He doesn't say you've lost your first love. I've heard it said that a number of times. He doesn't say you've lost it. Love's not turned to hatred. No. Yet it's just slipped. See, the failure of this church at Ephesus had not gotten that far yet. Not yet descended to such a depth, but it was slipping. It was slipping. He speaks of ebbing love. Not love dried completely up, but love that's slowing down. Love that's lost its freshness. Love that's lost its edge of the earlier days. Love that has sunk below the temperatures at which it once stood. Now I want you to listen to this complaint. This complaint of our Lord is about us serving Him, but serving Him with only half a heart. Not wholehearted service. Not saying, Lord, speak, I want to hear. Lord, what would Thou have me to do? But rather, do I have to do that? Serving Him, but serving Him with half a heart. It seems as if our Lord's saying, when He's saying, if you can see it, nevertheless, I have somewhat against it. He's standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And He's saying to them, I see what you're doing. I see all that, but you're doing it with half a heart. It's almost as if He's saying, I'd rather that you left me entirely. I'd rather that you didn't serve me at all than that you serve me out of duty and not out of devotion. Amen. He's speaking to us with this tear-filled eye again, this statement, a quiver in His throat, I believe, and in his words as He said, now you're serving me, but your service is stingy and your service is stinted and your service is less than it used to be. Amen. I've been to a few restaurants when the service was lousy. I've been to some that was good. I've been to some that was acceptable. And I've been to some that was lousy. And some of those that are lousy, you almost feel like, lady, if you don't want to serve us, set the pitcher of tea down. I'll pour it myself. Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes we come to church, I wonder if the Lord doesn't say, if you don't want to serve me, just set your pitcher down. I'll take care of it myself. Christ was grieved with Ephesus for offering unto Him with a grudging heart, divided heart, that once burned with complete love. I'm going to throw this in. I'm winding her down. I'm not done, but I'm winding her down. Don't you think about this. I want you to search your own heart and say, Lord, are you speaking to me? Do I love you with only half a heart where I once loved you with all my heart? Think with me for just a moment who this Savior is that's standing here. He's reaching out to His bride with tear-filled eyes, and He's saying, why don't you love me like you used to? That complaint, if it came from anybody else, wouldn't carry near the weight that it does coming from the Lord Jesus. We hear it, you hear it all the time. It's a common thing. The wife has stopped loving her husband. Or a husband has ceased to love his wife. A brother no longer loves his brother or his sister. Something's come between them. A friend is no longer loving like a friend. These complaints we recognize and we feel them because in our life we depend so much on love of others. We really do. We say, I don't care. We do care. We're lying when we say we don't care. Amen. We are reaching out towards others and we'd like for them to at least show some response back to us. And sometimes our heart, we recognize that and we're grieved because of a husband or a wife or a brother or a sister or a friend that's no longer. But here's the Lord. This is not just some husband that's a faulty husband or some wife that's a faulty wife or some brother or sister that have faults. This is the unblemished Lamb of God that said, I've never done anybody wrong. Never let anybody down. Amen. We didn't deserve Him even to look our way, and yet He did. And He's saying, why don't you love me like you used to? This Savior that I'm talking about, He has the admiration of the angels. All the hosts of heaven bend and move at His beckon and call. Amen. I mean, the hosts of heaven, they worship Him. They glorify Him. And then He looks at me and you and He said, why don't you love me like you used to love me? Amen. Well, I'll say this. What true-hearted Christian wouldn't be melded to hear the Savior make such a cry? Won't you think about this? Now let these thoughts run through your mind. Why should Christ love me so much and I love Him so little? Why should He love so truly and constantly and so warmly, and that I return nothing but fickleness and insincerity and coldness? Amen. Why should He be so concerned about my love and me be so careless about His? Is my love so precious and His love so worthless? Here's the answer. I believe this is the answer. He understands love, and we don't. He understands love. Amen. He understands love. But you think about it. He's the one that's been done wrong. He's the one that's done all these good things for us, blessed us, saved us out of our sin, put us in the family of God, let us be a part of the church of the living God, blessed us with all these spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And yet we've turned our back on Him, and in them is that He don't say, all right, that's it. I'll slam the door shut. No, He's still standing at the door and knocking. He's still reaching His hand in by the door, wanting in. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to John chapter number 21. I'm closing. I'm winding her down. John chapter 21 has some very, and you, some of you know where I'm going probably, some very profound statements in it. He who gave His all for me, how could I give less than my all? All my love. Amen. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, son of Jonas. You see this phrase? Lovest thou me? Here's a crucified, risen again Son of God, getting ready to ascend into heaven. He's looking at his disciple and what he's asking. Peter, do you love me? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Amen. Amen. Feed my sheep. This question, threefold question Jesus asked to Peter over and over again. Peter, do you love me? I don't care how much you're going to feed my sheep if you don't love me. I don't care how good you can preach if you don't love me. I don't care how good you can fish for men if you don't love me. I don't care about any of these things. That's what he's saying. If you don't love me. Now, in closing, as we stand with heads bowed and eyes closed, and they come with a song. Would Christ have the same complaint to you or I? Has our love for Him waned or dimmed? We've not ceased loving Him, but is our love lessened? Is there someone or something that's moved you over? That's maybe taken up that devoted place and has pushed Christ aside to second place? Is it the world? Is it pleasure? Is it pride? Is it just plain old laziness? What is it that has caused us to leave our first love? I'm asking this morning, do you hear Christ knocking at your heart's door? Can you hear Him as He whispers? And He says, why don't you love me like you used to? Heavenly Father, take the message. Accomplish your will and work. Get the glory due thy name. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. While we sing, if you need to come, would you come?